runasradio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 321 with guest Ed Munsters, recorded Thursday, May 30th, 2013. Run As Radio is produced each week by Prop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and you're listening to Run As Radio. I'm at DevTeach and found my friend Ed Munsters. And Ed, nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, Richard.
For the folks who haven't met you before, what do you do? Where are you from? What's your story?
Yeah, well, I'm a SharePoint architect for Infusion, based out of Toronto. Also a SharePoint MVP and one of Telerik's insiders.
Right, so you got the full meal deal there too, and spent most of your time doing SharePoint deployment?
Yeah, so since 2007, spent almost literally 100% of my time doing SharePoint deployments and customization.
So mostly big companies needing serious development on SharePoint?
Interestingly enough, a very wide variety.
All kinds of folks,
all kinds of verticals. But typically, actually, I found myself spending a lot of time doing public-facing websites for cities.
Because that's not what you think of SharePoint being used for.
True. The first thing that comes to mind is, oh, it's a place where I can collaborate on my documents and get my work done. But within SharePoint, one of its many powerful features is a fully functional web content management system.
Right.
So absolutely appropriate for a public-facing website or an internal-facing intranet, extranet, that type of thing.
And I do feel like, I mean, SharePoint has been a product that hasn't decided what it was going to be when it was going to grow up for a while.
I hear a lot of people refer to it as kind of the Swiss Army knife of products. It has so many kind of slices of a pie of functionality that it can do. It's surprising to most people.
Yeah, you almost get tangled up to it. Do you tend to specialize on the CMS configuration side of SharePoint or do much work in the whole document sharing piece?
In general, people tend to focus a lot of their time in a slice. They'll be a search expert.
Sure.
They'll be a BI expert.
Yeah.
I probably would say I spend 70% of my time on the web content management.
And particularly that sort of outward-facing.
Outward-facing. It could be intranet, too. Mm-hmm. Anything publishing. You know, you're publishing content, web content, documents. And then maybe 30% of my time is traditional document management, where you're working on Office, Microsoft Office type documents.
Which is what I think a lot of people think of SharePoint as the quick way to share documents in a group and not keep emailing the document around.
Correct. Yes.
That's the one thing as an IT guy, when I'm an IT guy, especially dealing with Exchange, it's like, stop putting your documents in the email. It's bad.
Yes. Hundreds of reasons. The classic, I don't know where to find the latest version.
Yeah, what version is this?
And you have your version with your initials on it and some date and some rev number, and I have mine. And then some poor guy's job is he has to take yours and mine and merge them together to try and figure out. Yeah, it's a nightmare.
So. Yeah, we both worked on it at the same time. And as an Exchange operator, it's like you're filling up your mailbox with copies of crap.
Copies of versions of documents, yeah. and it's surprising then how much time people spend looking for those documents in their email, looking for the latest version, merging versions together. It's crazy. It's so simple, right? Why don't we put up a web-based file share?
Yeah, just
put the document there and just stop.
And that's what I appreciate about SharePoint is that tight coupling to email so that everybody's going to the same place. And we still do get version control effects and we know who's worked on it, but we don't have it all cluttered through our email.
Yeah, correct. Yes.
Has that characteristic of SharePoint really evolved a lot? I mean, we've got a brand new 2013 edition of SharePoint. Like, it seems like this was the original feature. How much change can it have?
Interestingly enough, one of the talks I do is just, hey, here's document management out of the box. Here's how to leverage features, like you mentioned, like versioning and that type of thing. And when I look back at my presentations over the year, that core stuff, that what they call the foundation stuff in SharePoint, hasn't changed since 2007, hasn't evolved much.
Document management governance is their basic philosophies. They're going to be the same.
They're going to be the same. So maybe the one thing that's changed significantly is, instead of just putting the document there, there's a lot more emphasis when you talk about governance, in organizations classifying their content according to corporate metadata.
Interesting.
So we have the managed metadata service in SharePoint. So what that is just a term set taxonomy that I can implement, and then I can use the term set taxonomy to classify my documents, and that helps them organize.
And this is an enforced taxonomy. Like you are going to put the document in the right place, or you're not putting it anywhere.
Well, now we get into interesting governance discussions.
Sure.
Is this an enforced field or not? And then if you do, so what ends up happening is you now have a governance problem in terms of SharePoint adoption, because if you put any small barrier in front of someone uploading a document, now I got to figure out all these fields of metadata. I got to figure out how to classify.
Think?
Yeah. You gotta, so it's important you don't just do that. So there are actually many, many ways that we can organize the information architecture so that we kind of know what the metadata is. You can actually pre-populate it for the document library.
Yeah, just be intelligent about it.
Yeah, it's just intelligent. So as I drop documents in there, it's picking up the right metadata and not forcing users to an extra step where it's like, oh, forget it, this is too.
Yeah, you don't want them to answer a question they don't know the answer to.
And that's what's funny. They download it universally to these users who have to figure out the classification when usually it's some other records management or information person within the organization who really knows what the classification of the document should be. Typically the end users
And they've not communicated to them. So now you put these rules in place. And so they're just going to stash it in my documents. And if you lock them out of that, they're going to stick a USB key and store it there.
On their desktop, right? Isn't that where 90% of people's files are still?
If they can't put them somewhere better, right? It ends up in my documents. And then you set group policies so that it has to be mapped to a file share. Yeah. And then you set another set of policies so that, you know, they are forced onto the SharePoint site. But you get into this trap where they don't know the answer to the question. So they're going to put it in the wrong place. They're going to find the miscellaneous option and put everything there.
Yeah. Yes. Correct. And that's end up. Yeah. They'll maybe use their personal sites or something. Yeah. Like you said, some other storage.
I remember finding a guy where he was down to it. He had a usable USB key, and all his files were there.
You locked everything else out.
Everything else was locked out, but because they needed USB access, that's where he stored his files. So he was one lost USB key away from ruining everything.
Of taking all his corporate knowledge away with him when his USB.
And you can't blame the guy. You know, he's just trying to get his work done, and you haven't given him sufficient instruction to be able to use the infrastructure.
Yeah, so there you go. There's more governance, you know, communications, change management within the organization, training. Provide guidance, policies, procedures.
I'm making sure they have some value there.
Yeah. It's almost what's like, in it for me?
Well, it's like you want to leave your SharePoint configuration loose so that people put stuff up there and then can't find it. And then they're going to demand enforced taxonomy to you. Like, give them a chance to fail with this organization first. And then their engagement on how to do this right is going to come up a long way. Rather than, you know, being too organized. We have a plan. You will follow the plan before they know they need a plan.
And you were alluding to, so most of the governance that I see coming into effect are trying to take control of the chaos.
Yes.
But in doing so, they're actually deepening the problem. They're not addressing that root cause of, you know, what's in it for me, helping me do my job. They're trying to make sure, trying to force you to make sure you're not putting things in the wrong place and deepening the problem.
Yeah, not without making it really clear what the right place is.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a great problem. Just trying to keep people productive. And we're in the service business, right? If we can't make these guys work more efficiently, what are we doing for a living? It's a total waste of time. And then you get into the question of, is this the right thing for SharePoint to be doing? Because there's other document management systems out there. I mean, arguably dedicated ones that are of higher sophistication and cost.
Well, so interestingly, I'm working with a Calgary-based oil company that's implementing both SharePoint on the document collaboration side, let's call it. And then with an interface to OpenText, which is, you know, an industrial grade,
big fancy, Xerox?
Documents. I don't know.
But it's one of the big ones.
It's like one of the big ones. Huge. Yeah. OpenText is one of the big players. And that's what's being used for the industrial strength document repository records management.
All the regulatory requirements around oil.
All the regulatory requirements. However, what's interesting as I'm, not knowing the product and as I'm sitting in on sort of the architectural sessions that are talking about integration.
Sure.
The problems are the same.
Hmm.
In that thing, how do we organize the call them folders? How do we organize the folder repositories? How are we synchronizing permissions? When does stuff get archived? So from what I've seen, with the limited thing of what I've seen, I don't see that the problems are different regardless of the technology behind the document storage.
Taxonomy pain is taxonomy pain. Doesn't matter what you do using it with.
Interestingly enough, see that the real document classification taxonomy is in SAP. So
we've got at least one too many apps here.
Yeah, there's a product, believe it or not, that's dedicated towards synchronizing the SharePoint's managed metadata term store with SAP, which then has to be mapped over to OpenText because as you archive documents, you want the categories to be preserved, of course. And so, it becomes a very complicated problem, but not unique to SharePoint as a technology.
And I have met organizations, typically in regulatory regimes like oil and gas and medical and so forth, that end up employing librarians.
Absolutely.
The documents are that important. Organization is that important. There are specialists in getting that stuff done right.
That's the term I was struggling with before. It's the term librarian who is responsible for the information architecture, records classification, those types of initiatives. Dedicated, specialized, like university-trained folks
who are master's specialized. Degrees in library sciences. Yeah. It is a complex art form. And just because we have technology doesn't mean it's gone away. And if anything, it's gotten worse.
And so I can implement a bad solution equally well in, I would say, OpenText or SharePoint.
Yeah.
So, you know, technology doesn't matter.
The technology is not going to save you.
Correct.
Maybe a good librarian as well.
So, interesting, what I see a lot of folks doing is, we're on FileShare, so we should clearly move to SharePoint. So, and thinking that's a solution to all my problems, right? So they'll simply migrate the content as is into like a SharePoint document library, preserving its folder structures, and they observe that the problems were exactly the same as I've had.
We've just taken the mess we had here and put it in a mess over here.
A web-based file share mess, right? So SharePoint alone as its technology doesn't really solve any of these important root problems in the organization.
Maybe a year ago I had a conversation with Robert Bogue around SharePoint governance as a whole, because it's certainly his particular area. And it's funny how these are not SharePoint conversations.
Exactly,
this is a document storage problem, and you've had it whether it was paper, disks, or big hard drives. It's the same problem.
Or USB keys.
Or USB keys, for that matter. And I've seen amazing, file systems for actual paper pages, and it's all the same kind of problem, really.
And it's interesting being the architect for SharePoint. Mm-hmm. Where I'm go into business meetings, I'm the technology guy, right?
Right.
And they expect me to participate in conversations like a library science person would be in terms of, what should my IA be? What should my taxonomy be? I'm like, I don't know.
You're the expert.
No, I'm not. If you give me the taxonomy, I can totally implement this in SharePoint.
But I'm a technologist.
Right? So, I'm the technologist.
But at the same time, I think it's one of the things we're running into in the senior roles in these organizations, where you have to come with a sense of that business process reengineering role.
BPR, IA, you need all those business analysis skills, and to some extent, those library science skills, which we typically apportion to, typically the designer, so if you get someone designing something like a public-facing website, they typically are doing a classification, IA, they're trying to figure out the optimal website
structure. It's not just about the pretty colors.
Correct. Absolutely. They think, you're just going to do a graphic design for me. No. So when, by the time I get something like that from a graphic designer or a UX designer, let's call it, it's pretty clear to me how to implement that in SharePoint's web content management system. Sure. And I know it'll be successful because it's been well thought out. But the same thing doesn't happen, I find, often on the document management side with a library science specialist. Like, they should do that business analysis sure. first. And then if you handed that to me, I could totally
implement it, no
mail
problem.
That in SharePoint. But I really appreciate this idea successful. That
it doesn't matter whether it's a document store or a customer-facing website. There's still a taxonomy here. You still have to organize information in a way that is useful to the user.
Not only useful, increasingly. Here's what's interesting about SharePoint 2013 specifically. Mm-hmm. Everything is going search-driven. And why search-driven is so powerful is I need to surface content related to this item.
Mm-hmm.
So one exercise I was involved with recently was World Vision Canada.
Okay.
So
they're a charity?
They're a charity that sponsors children in third world countries, right? So you sign up and you can, you know, get the photo and, okay, and story of your child, that whole experience.
You're supporting a child.
So if you go on the website and you happen to be interested in a particular country, let's call it Africa, then things should start surfacing from that region.
Right.
Not just random things on the website. Moreover, if you log in and you have sponsored a child in Zimbabwe,
yep.
then the content should be targeted to you. But in order to do that, all that content has to be classified as it goes into right. the website.
This so is not about identifying the user. This is about identifying the possible data to show to the user.
Yes. And that could apply to documents
mm-hmm.
or public-facing websites. Whether it's web page content, or document content, or videos, or news articles,
sure.
or any images, media at or all. Any media, that unstructured content world, anything at all needs the same classification so I can make it useful to the consumer.
Right. And so, I mean, if we're talking about sponsoring a child in Zimbabwe, you're going to want to do tagging around Zimbabwe as well as child-related subjects.
Correct. Right? It could be, I don't know, child slavery, for example.
Mm-hmm.
If so, particular issues tend to be relevant in particular countries. Mm-hmm. And so World Vision advertises different initiatives mm-hmm. and gift programs yep. in those countries. So they're also targeted to, you know, so if you're looking at material about child slavery, there will be a call to action
sure.
for you to donate a gift or sign a petition related to that subject matter
yep.
that has surfaced, again, at all driven in behind the scenes, search driven by content classification. Well,
this is not just a fun thing you're doing. This is what information are we going to put in front of the person most likely to be able to contribute to our cause.
Correct.
And doing it in an indirect way. You can't look at each person and say, this is what we should send. But rather, anybody interested in this area or interested in this topic area and so forth, there's a range of things they should send. Like, just trying to get all the tagging right.
So, and then tie that into the whole... So another SharePoint 20 thing that's gone, you know, through the roof in terms of increase in functionality is mm-hmm. the whole social side of SharePoint. Like
sure.
it's really elevated itself.
So plugging into Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn.
No, internal social
oh, really?
Interaction. So,
okay.
you can do all the usual social stuff, but inside
mm-hmm.
your corporation, inside your intranet, on those documents. So I can share a document with you because I think you would find this interesting.
Right.
That document is tagged with SharePoint. So, you know, me declaring myself interested in the hashtag SharePoint, that type of content will start surfacing to me because it's been tagged.
Right.
We've collaborated on content together. So if I search for it, it's more relevant. So that whole social distance thing with content in terms of search relevance. So the whole social data dimension within the organization is also... has to be strongly considered as you're designing these document repositories. So again, way more than just simply dumping your file share into a folder in SharePoint.
Internal search tools, they just don't have the synonyms the way that a Google does. So it's, I mean, guys looking for stuff related to Zimbabwe, but calls it Rhodesia, the old name, or it says Southern Africa or Southeastern Africa, like just getting all those synonyms into the taxonomy and into the hierarchy well enough that you don't have to be perfect with your search terms.
That's actually a job of So I would claim whether, and I've had some experience with the Google search appliance indirectly, mm-hmm. Internally in an organization versus SharePoint, say, Fast Search or 2013 Search.
Yeah.
Again, the search engine is just a technology. It's not really, you know, it can do its job, but it's not really going to make search any better for you.
Right.
So what you have to do is you have to work on search. At that particular client, there's literally a whole team of people looking at the web analytics. What were you searching for? Did mm-hmm. you find it?
Yes.
What are the most popular search terms? So at a city website, you know, the department is not called garbage.
Right.
It's called waste collection and recycling or something,
right?
But you type in garbage schedule, you expect to get the waste yes. collection schedule.
You can't force the citizens of that city
yeah.
to learn your glossary.
Yeah, no, it's all organized by department. That's
sure.
not, doesn't work that way.
Yeah, you need to organize. What are they searching for, and are you answering it?
So then you can tune the search engines, mm-hmm. right? So you have to actually go in there and say promote results, so that, you know, if they're searching for this, it's like, oh, then guide them to the content, because this is what they're looking for,
right.
the leisure guide, the recreation guide, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it takes work to analyze and tune the search engine.
Sure.
So that people are getting relevant results for their
searches.
It's
got to be an ongoing thing.
And again, it doesn't matter whether that's Google search or SharePoint search.
No.
Garbage in, garbage out. It's just a big indexing engine, right?
Yeah. What an interesting task, actually, going back and looking at failed searches.
Just
identifying that they're failed, and then, you know, what can we really do? What did they want? What were they trying to do?
And even things like making sure that those top... You can seed in the suggested search terms
yep.
on those search engines, just like, you know, Google does.
Mm-hmm.
So you can seed in some suggestions. So if you're looking for your dog license renewal or whatever,
yeah.
we can guide you, make the suggestion, take you to where you need to go. Also, start putting stuff right on the homepage. So even if you don't start typing in a search box, you look at the homepage and go, oh, the top five things that people are looking for are right here. I just click on that button and we'll take you right there.
Well, and that's just sort of anticipating the reality that, you know, when the kids' camps open in a local area, that's naturally going to bubble to the top.
You've got that precisely correct. You actually have to almost anticipate, right?
Sure.
Like, I'm pretty sure right now the snow clearing schedule isn't so much
important.
Interest.
It's springtime,
so,
and
so you're right. As soon as they're going to publish the recreation guide about the swimming lessons,
mm-hmm.
That link better be there, because
yeah.
because the parents are like, you know, 1 minute past the opening of swimming lesson registration, they're in there. They need to get their kids in so they get them in the right program.
Right, right. Well, and I got to think, those top five search terms should almost be default article items on that homepage.
Correct.
So you're actually shaping the whole look of the site based on the state of search terms.
Correct. So again, takes a lot of, you can't just do that once and leave it.
No.
Or think that the search engine, just by crawling a bunch of content, is going to solve that for you.
You can't set priority. I think that's the deepest thing, is how do you set priority to that stuff?
And context.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it takes a ton of work. And those that spend a lot of time with their search engines and tuning
mm-hmm.
are quite successful.
Get this amazing result. That
amazing
it just
results.
Seemed to know what I needed next. You know, if it's springtime, list springtime content. If it's summertime, list sunshine content. It's just a community website. Why did it get so complicated?
Actually, people are surprised. Again, they go into it thinking, oh, you know,
we'll put a few things on the page.
Some graphic designer is going to do a pretty little design for
yeah.
me. It's just about, you know, it's just 100 web pages of HTML content. and then, I don't know, $300,000 later, they're wondering why this is such an expensive website. Well,
right.
it's a major technology investment. It's also a major people investment. It cuts across every department in, say, a city or any organization, it's...
Aren't we netting a positive ROI out of this eventually? It's got to still be less expensive than every parent having to phone the number and ask somebody for it.
Interestingly enough, City of Calgary was mm-hmm. one of the examples where they spend a lot of time tuning the search engine. And their ROI, they go right to the call center. Because their ROI is, if we reduce calls into the call center, then we can actually measure that
yeah.
and get return back on investment.
Sure.
And absolutely, the website is like, you know, paying for itself plus, right?
Yeah.
Because they
anytime
they can
you didn't have to field a call, you can add that number on.
Yeah. And conversely, interestingly enough, take the call center stats.
Mm-hmm.
The top You know, 50% of calls are about they can't find the garbage schedule. I don't know, pick something, right? Well, we can get rid of half the calls if we just make sure that that's, you know, I went to your website, couldn't find this, I'm calling you.
Yeah, how so can I get this? That's just our marker. This is what we should fix.
Yeah, monitor the call center too and feed that into the web.
And you've got this Pareto's law effect. You're going to get 80% of the calls, about 20% of the subjects. You fix those 20%, you've eliminated 80% of the call.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least for some of them.
So yeah, there's real, tangible, huge ROI for doing this activity.
I got to think that it also, you got to measure an increase in utilization. I think to today's culture, it's like, if I have to pick up the phone, I didn't need to do this that badly.
Well, increasingly, especially with us, with all our mobile devices, yeah. I'll literally stop on the street, you know, pop up my map, type in a search term. I'm looking for that content on the go.
Right now.
So it's, you know, on demand right now. Mm-hmm. So the reality is if that website isn't being looked after and has stale content,
yeah.
And you don't find what you want, you're only going to be there once.
Yeah.
But conversely, if you go there and you're consistently finding what you want because you type in the terms, you get what you need, you're going to go back there all the time again, you know, cycling down the need for you to call in.
So, I think being responsible IT folks and focusing on the ROI of what we're building, it's got to be clearly there's opportunities for reduction in cost within our organization, that this takes workload over that was being done other ways. But then I think also measuring that increase in utilization. So correct. More people are using it and it's costing us less for those people to use it.
Yes. And that's part of the equation of typical total cost of ownership. Right. When we look at, but typically you think about operating the IT infrastructure related to that investment. The business benefits are part of this.
Yeah. And I feel like we need to assign a salary to this. Like it's an ongoing maintenance problem. So how do I keep accounting for the value to that salary? You know, it's easy to do one initial measurement where we get an ROI and it's like, okay, well, we've saved this money.
Yeah, they look at it initially like, oh, we have 1.5 less FTEs or something.
Right.
And they justify it initially, but there's those ongoing savings.
Yeah. I think it's really important not just to do the initial savings, but to say, here's the ongoing expenditures to maintain this system that keeps it at high value, potentially increasing its value, and still you have to have a net ROI on that. The math of these things is not trivial, and I think it's easy for us as technical geeks to ignore it, but when you spend some time doing this, this is where we get better projects. I got really good at getting budget for my projects by getting good at these numbers.
But it comes back to, it's interesting as an architect, maybe, you know, let's if my company's listening in, let's cut them out of this conversation, but interestingly, like I find myself less able to focus on the technology, like get deep on the technology, because I'm involved in a lot of governance and business level and business. I'm doing business analysis, business requirements, you know, project ROI for project charters. I'm doing a lot of this typical business analysis type stuff in equal parts to actual technology architecture.
Well, it seems like the technology is the easy part. It's actually getting a good plan that's the hard part.
Got a good plan? Got a good structure. Like I said, the implementation is self-evident.
Sure.
I know exactly how to do that.
And if it's SharePoint, not self-evident, then you haven't done enough homework yet.
And you know what? I know in advance it's going to be successful.
Yeah.
I don't even have to like implement it and then think about, is it going to be successful or not? I already know in advance.
Sure.
It's a slam dunk.
Well, and then the double combination of how much of the ROI can we calculate in advance? Like, can we have a pretty good sense? Can I set a budget for this project based on expected returns from past projects? That's very exciting to get to that place where you have that much confidence.
And that makes it easier for, hey, we're a consulting company and we're selling our services to client. It's important for us to communicate the potential value of a technology like SharePoint.
Oh, yeah, that our costs are zero. You know, you're gonna love writing our check.
Yeah, because you're going to save all this down the road.
That's
an easy decision for an executive to make. It's like, yeah, bring it on. Let's do this now.
Yeah, sooner is better.
Yeah, as opposed to if they don't know, if they can't get in their mind what the downstream is. It's like they're very, you know,
should I spend that money? I guess you got to have some customers that have already done their own calculations and they're all in. But you're going to have some where like, well, we're trying to figure out if the SharePoint thing will really help me. And they, you know, include your costs as well as their costs to really show an overall return. It's got to be part of the job.
Well, with a technology like SharePoint, what also is interesting is they're focused on one thing to bring that ROI. Let's say document collaboration. But then as they realize that there's all these other pie slices, like, wow, I get BI too, and enterprise search,
workflow
and a workflow and this and that. That's like, wow. So not only do I get this return, you can actually educate them on all future potential returns as well, because
they're paying for those licenses. Yeah. They might as well use it everywhere they can.
They've literally paid for them. That's all licensed. So, you know, they have more opportunity for them.
Interesting stuff. It's easy to make fun of SharePoint out here in the world.
Absolutely is. Know?
But bottom line is it's viral for a reason. It solves some seriously difficult problems and provides lots of value.
I've heard that it is outstrips any version of Windows or Office. Like it is the fastest growing, most licensed Microsoft product on Earth today, I think.
Yeah, it's getting up there. It's very exciting. It's a billion-dollar business. We could all hope to have a few billion-dollar businesses under our belt. I think Microsoft's got 16 of them. So
wow.
They must have done something right.
Yeah.
Hey, Ed, it's been really fun talking to you. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, no problem. It was great catching up.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.